As you will know full well, Cornwall is famous for its beautiful Cornish hedges, which mark out and frame the beautiful countryside that we all enjoy so very much. However, some will be aware that that occasionally people come to grief when they wander a bit too close to those hedges with their vehicles and they get a nice scrape along the edge. Those hedges are extremely unforgiving if you've done that yourself. I'm not going to ask who, but I'm sure we all have. Peter, famously called the rock by Jesus himself, reminding Peter that the revelation that Peter had received about who God was and is, and who Jesus was and is, actually meant that there was a foundation upon which everything else could be built. It was a really important and significant moment for Peter. And here, Peter, in 1 Peter 2, is beginning to return to the images about stones and the importance of stones. But also, he's coupled that with the phrase, the royal priesthood. And he's reminding the church in Asia Minor that actually they need to be taken back to that place, that moment when they first believed. And the things upon which everything else was built, it's really very crucial. So we're going to be in 1 Peter 2 today, and I might reflect upon some of the readings as well. And in this section of Peter's letter, it opens with, as you come to him, the living stone. In last week's reading, we were hearing how they needed to be built up in the faith and to actually make sure that they drank pure spiritual milk. They needed the right foundation to go on in life. And now he's saying, as you come to him, who is the living stone, he is the foundation upon which everything else, the church, our lives as individuals, is built. It's actually taken from Isaiah chapter 28, where it says there, the prophet Isaiah says, I see, I lay a stone, God's foundation stone, carefully chosen and extremely costly. And it relates at that time to the building of the temple. And archaeologists have actually found foundation stones that were literally 70 feet long and 13 feet wide and about this kind of deep. I mean, this is big stuff. But they were building a big building, a building to the glory of God in those days. We're coming to Jesus, who is the foundation stone for Christians. He is the rock and the foundation for all who believe, either as individuals or as a church. We need to have the right start in our Christian lives. And furthermore, we read that this stone, rejected by men but actually chosen by God, is precious to him. Jesus was precious to God. And it must have grieved and did grieve him greatly when his son, which he knew would have to happen, had to go to Calvary and to die on a cross because Jesus was precious to him. But Jesus went through that experience because he himself, God in flesh appearing, knew that was the only answer to men and women's ills. Things had to be reversed, and so he went through that process himself. But we need to remember that Jesus himself was precious. The living stone was precious to God and precious to us too. As we go on and become believers for us. Verse 7, now to you who believe, this stone is precious. And I think the preciousness that God felt for Jesus, it is actually then felt by all of us as we receive Jesus as our Saviour. We are precious to him also. And it's really important that we understand that to be the case. Now, I've never built a Cornish wall personally. I know somebody who has, I think. Is that right, Noel? Yeah. Noel, if I've got this wrong, he'll tell me after, but you can ask him. So I went on, as you do, on Google and found out how they do that. So they have foundations, big stones at the bottom, both sides being built up in a curve, so eventually it can be filled with soil to receive the plants. Actually, a bit like ours out there. But it has to be built right, or else it caves in. And it has to be cared for and looked after, or else it just all falls apart. And it is the same is true for the church. actually. We build, the God's church is built on the foundation, which is Jesus. And we need the right stones in the right place. And the wonderful thing about it is that we're all different shapes. And there's a place for us to fit within the life of the church. All of us have something to bring to the table, as it were, something to offer in service of God as he enables us. And that's really important, because the second image that Peter is using here is the church as a royal priesthood. Now, of course, Ben began his ordination process on Friday. He was ordained as a deacon. And next year in the Church of England, the tradition is that you're then ordained as a priest. But Peter's saying here, you, the church, you are a royal priesthood. So what does this mean? Do you believe that you are a priest? The answer to that has to be yes. Do you believe that? Because you are a priest in the sight of God, called to do his work. Now, because we're all different shapes and sizes, I don't mean physically, but I mean the stones in the church's wall, in the building, in the Cornish hedge, in that image, because we're all different shapes and sizes, I think it actually refers to the fact that we all have different roles to play within the life of the church as priests. Ben and I are called a particular role in the Church of England as priests. But all of you have a role in the life of the church, called to be part of the royal priesthood of God. And not everyone's called to preach and teach or to celebrate at communion, but we're all called to do things for God in his strength, by his grace, and with the help of his Holy Spirit. So this is a really important image that I think that Peter is getting across here. But it all begins with the foundation stone, with Jesus Christ. And all of that has to be put in place first of all. So there will be a time when that foundation stone was put in place for you. And it might have been when you were quite young, or a bit later in life, or maybe it went down a bit gradually. You know, things happen in different ways for each one of us, but it needs to be put in place. One of the fascinating things about Ben and I's story is that we have a mutual friend in Bruce Gillingham. And it was Bruce Gillingham who was the curate at St. Andrew's Church, who led me to Jesus all those years ago, and who married Jackie and I in that church. He was our mentor. And then he became Ben's mentor. Isn't that amazing? How God moves in extraordinary and mysterious ways. But he played an important role in my discipleship, ensuring that I had good, strong foundations. And upon that, other things can be built. And eventually, the story unfolds. The lady in the story, in the gospel story, is Jesus was wandering around and she wanted to gain healing from him. She knew he could do this. And he asked that interesting question, who touched me? Which was an interesting question because there were thousands of people around at the time. They must have thought, well, what does he mean, who touched me? But he felt power go out of him. And I think it's true to say that was obviously the beginning physically of a change for that woman as she was healed. But spiritually too, she came to a knowledge of who Jesus was. We don't know much about her after that, but something happened. And it's that something, really, that people, I think, are looking for in life, but they don't quite know where to search sometimes. But when it happens, you know. You just kind of know that something's happened to change the way we are. God has done something inside to bring us to a different place. Peter says, to you who believe this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, though, it's become a capstone. Those who reject God's word and find it difficult to believe. It can be a stone of stumbling. And part of that can be to do with pride, because nobody likes to admit that they get things wrong or are sinners, as the Bible puts it. Unless you read the Bible in the right way around, that actually we all start from that place. And we all need God in our lives. But sometimes that very phrase, or that thought, well, I've done nothing wrong, actually is a stone of stumbling, because Jesus reaches into that place which can feel quite uncomfortable for some people. But eventually, God is gracious and keeps on knocking on that door, keeps asking, keeps inviting himself, inviting people to knock on the door, and he will come in to be with them. That continues, never stops. He never gives up on people in this world. But we need to have the right foundation and then allow God to build and to watch and see how he will build. It's just such an exciting thing when God is in control of something. God is doing that work. It's very important that we look out for where he is moving and try to keep in step with what he would wish to do. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? People find it very difficult to let go of their past, but actually, a new life in Christ is exactly what it says. It's a new life. We start afresh with him. And I think, you know, it's something that's easily forgotten by those who are Christians too. And we carry around a burden on our backs which is not ours to carry. We should lay it at the foot of the cross and allow God to deal with it through Jesus Christ and his precious blood. And leave it there. That's what he intends for us, to move on. Because we will be never put to shame. He has done a work that is everlasting. Everlasting. That doesn't mean to say that when we get things wrong, we will not be punished by the law, for instance. That's a different matter. But in him, we find forgiveness and our shame taken from us. That's where we need to take everything to God. And we need to do that in prayer and with thanksgiving. And you are a chosen people. We need to start believing that, I think. We are a chosen people. And the stones are continually being added. His church is not being finished built yet. And as it says, as you come to him, the living stone, actually that's both past tense and present and future. The stones will keep being added to this amazing thing that God is building, this church. It's a continuing process. And that's why we need to witness to God's saving love in our lives, so that others too can be part of this amazing privilege of knowing a God who loves us so very much. But that's where it begins. Witness, hearing God's word, allowing Jesus to be built up in our lives, and going on from there. And then see what God will do as he builds on that foundation, the solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Let's be still for a moment as we ponder those thoughts.